Everyone is good. Praise God. Everyone is blessed. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Just to give you a little synopsis of what we're going to do tonight on what the Lord was sharing with me about. We're going to go through some ups and downs and some valleys. Okay, biblically speaking, and then we're going to pull through at the end full of glory. Amen. That sound good? Amen. Okay, this is where, what God's going to do for us and in us, because if in a minute you can put the title of the message up there, I may be sitting off and on you guys, if that's okay with you guys. All right, thank you. Not to give a bad impression or anything, but even though my hat says NRA, glory to God. But that's not what it means. What you think. It actually means, you didn't know? Okay. It's all right. I'll tell you exactly what it means. It means, nevertheless, rejoice always. Instead of National Rifle Association. Amen. It means both. Nevertheless, rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. Hallelujah, rejoice, hallelujah, glory to God. The other one actually means National Rifle Association. Okay, so praise God. I got a little ringing going. It could be the gain, if you check that back there. Please, thank you. As we start, I'd like us all to just raise our hands and worship God, because God is so desiring for us to worship Him. Let's raise our hands and bless Him. Father, we bless Your holy name. We worship You. We did not get enough of blessing You tonight. Forgive us, Father, for not taking the time to do nothing but bless You. Father, this is Your service. This is Your time. And we bless You. We honor You. We lift You up with all our hearts, minds, soul, and strength, Father. Because You are our God. You are more than enough. You live in us. You drive out the darkness. Hallelujah. And call us to Your marvelous light. We thank You for that, Jesus. We honor You when we're just expecting You, Father, to do great and mighty things in this service tonight. You promised it, and we're going to stand on these promises, Father. Hallelujah. We give You glory and praise. We magnify Your holy name. Your holy name in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you guys like that old chorus that we did? Yeah, that was a wonderful chorus. You know, bless the Lord. That's a great chorus. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. And the last one, that reckless love, and it's got a part there. It's called, in music terms, it's called the bridge. When it actually talks about how there's no shadow that God will not light up, no mountain He won't climb up, okay? These things that He'll do for us, right? I want you to listen to this. Listen to this revelation the Lord gave us tonight for this. Okay, while we were singing that song, the Lord just said, I did that for you, but now that you are mine, will you do that for me? Will we seek Him just the way He sought us in the times that we need Him? Will we do that? That's a charge God's given us, okay? And if we leave that charge by the side, God says, that's okay. Whatever you want to do, I did it for you. You belong to me, but I still have more for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go ahead and put up the title of the message tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to have some, we're going to have a good time tonight in the Lord. All right? The title of the message is, Do I Really Have a Ministry? Do I really have a ministry, or is this just something that the church wants me to do so to keep me busy? All right? Do I really have a ministry, or is it just something that, you know, guilt gets pushed on me because I'm not doing something? We're going to get that question answered tonight, and we're going to have a blessed time to do it, because we're going to share a few stories tonight and also biblical stories that can help us answer that question for ourselves. Because I cannot answer it for you. I can only answer it for me. Okay, I know God has a ministry for me. He's called me in the ministry. And it's just a powerful thing to see miracles, to be a part of miracles, and have God do things in your life, but in the life of others, just by you saying one word. You know, Joyce, you know that. Pastor Pete, you know, just by sharing something with somebody, and then, wow, you see the change. And it's nothing we actually really did. It's the Holy Ghost working in us. Amen? It's the Holy Ghost. Okay? And like Pastor was sharing about the miracle of the potato salad or whatever it was over at the our second church over there in Irwindale. When I was in college traveling on our college baseball team, we had a day and a half side track trip, whatever. And there was 18 of us. 18 of us, now think of it, 18 very hungry college baseball players. And we decided, at the time we were coming through L.A., we stopped at my folks' house to go swimming and have a barbecue. And my parents just go, what? We're going to feed 18? Plus, you know, my brothers and stuff. And they go, oh, okay. Let's see what we got in the refrigerator. Well, my mom and dad pulled me aside while the team was swimming, and they said, we only got just two chickens in the refrigerator. And we all said, all three of us there said, let's pray and let's eat. So my dad said, okay. So the amazing part about it, he just started barbecuing, and we're all swimming and just relaxing and stuff like that because we're traveling, and it was a good time back then. But then at the end of the meal, we were all full, and there was two whole chickens left over. Mark my words, okay? My mom knows. She just goes, I don't know. My dad goes, I cooked only two chickens. Where'd they all come from? You know, and it's like, man, God doesn't work in mysterious ways. He works in ways that he said he would work. We just have to believe him and trust him, and he'll do it. He'll do it, okay? But that's the key, believe, okay? It's going to be a little different than usual tonight, but I guarantee you, listen to me, I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit's presence will be present to bless, hallelujah, to heal, to minister, and to meet whatever need you have, especially if you are expecting it. If you don't expect it, you'll go your way, and the Holy Spirit will just pass by. Okay? It's not me. It's not about me. It's the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit wants to bless. He wants to heal. He wants to minister. We have to expect it to be done. Hallelujah. And if you do expect it, say out loud with me, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm expecting.
Lord Jesus,
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Glory to Jesus. Glory. Glory. All right. Do I really have a ministry? Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Glory. This is one of the first stories we're going to really get into. And we're going to be reading 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 14. Then we're going to take a break from it, and then we're going to go verses 15 through 19, all in 2 Kings chapter 5. Those of you who have never read this story, you're in for a great awakening. Those of you who have read it, buckle your seatbelt even more, okay? This is a great story. I'm going to turn around a little bit here and read it because I have the different translation. But I want to read it in the New King James with you guys. Is that okay? Okay, here we go. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king. Everybody say king. king of Syria. Is Syria talked about in the news today?
Yes.
Okay, same place. The king of Syria was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a what? A leper. He was a leper. Everybody knows what leprosy is, right? Okay. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl. Everybody say young girl. Young girl from the land of where? Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. So we get a picture here. She was a servant girl, right? She's a young girl to Naaman. All right? We got a picture here so far, because she was captive by the Syrians. Okay? And she was taken from the land of Israel. Okay. Let's go to the next verse. Then she, we're talking about the young girl, said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Next verse. Okay. And Naaman went in and told his master the king, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Again, ask yourself the question, do I really have a ministry? Well, wait a second. This young girl, I don't read anywhere in the scriptures where she had a pulpit. I don't read anywhere in the scriptures where she actually started preaching to Naaman's household. Okay? It's not there. What did she do? She just said something. We all have a mouth, so we can say something, right? Okay. Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." Is that what the girl said? Anything about the king? She mentioned who? The prophet. Okay, but here we go. This is the king of Syria saying, "I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. That's a lot of stuff. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." Next verse. "And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.' So it was, when Elisha, the man of God," everybody knows Elisha was the prophet, correct? Okay. "Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel tore his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" We learned last night at our Bible study that according to Israel or Israeli thought, that if a priest or a king were to tear their clothes, what are they doing? Loopy knows. Pete knows. Ed knows. Joyce knows. Linda knows. You guys know? What did he do? When he did that, when the king or a priest would tear their garments, they would actually, we think that they're in disgust. Yeah, it's a part of it. But what they're doing is giving up their position. When Caiaphas rent his clothes, when Jesus was before him, he basically said, I'm no longer the high priest. No longer. So the king of Israel, when he tore his clothes, he says, I'm no longer the king. And that's why the question Elisha said was, why? Why did you tear your clothes? Why are you giving up? Why are you quitting? He actually said, he said, because this man wants me to heal him. The king wants to have me heal him. Okay? Let's go on. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became what? Furious, and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and listen what the picture he had of his healing. Okay, catch this. Okay, that he'll stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. He already had an idea on how this healing was going to work. Okay? Are not the Abana and the Parfer, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a what? In a rage. Anybody ever seen a person in a rage before? They're uncontrollable. They're uncontrollable. Next verse, verse 13. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So far, there's two groups of people here who are called in the ministry besides Elisha. There's the young girl and Naaman's servants. He went off in a rage, and they hunted him down and told him just that. They said, if he told you to do something great, you'd do it. But now he's telling you to do something that is humiliating, and you won't do it. You won't do it. How many times has God told us to do something that if we did, we would feel this big? But on the other side of doing that this big, God says, I want you to be this big. And we don't do it. So how great are we in our own eyes, right? How mighty the proud have fallen, right? How much? So the servants had to minister. And again, I don't see a pulpit for these servants. I don't see they ministered to him. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, and I can just see him grumbling every time he dipped. 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I like how the Lord said here that his flesh was restored as a little child, not a young man, not a middle-aged man, but a young child. What are the scriptures implying here? Childlike faith, and it's like, hey, now you get it, Naaman. You're a proud man. You're doing great, mighty things for your king. You got to be a little child so you can do things to please me. You catching this? Okay, this is what the Lord's saying here. Let's go. Next verse. Okay, that was 14, right? Okay, good. And verse 15. This is really good, you guys. And you're really going to see how the Lord touched him. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know. Everybody say, now I know. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except where? In Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. He now calls himself the man of God's servant. But he said, which is Elisha, he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, Naaman did, but Elisha refused. So Naaman said, then, if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth. He's talking in the singular here. He's saying, let your servant, me, take 2 mule loads of earth from Israel, okay? For your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. What was he going to do with the dirt? Bury them. Bury the idols. He was burying them. Okay? Hallelujah. Keep going. Verse 18. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. He's talking in the singular. He's saying, may the Lord pardon me. Oh my gosh. When my master, listen to this, when my master, the king of Syria, goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand. Now catch this. He would go to worship, and Naaman had to be there, and he puts his hands down so that he would lean on Naaman, not on the ground at all, not on a tarp or anything, on a person. Okay? On a person. When he leans on my hand and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Then he, the prophet, said to him, go in shalom. Go in shalom. When we say peace up here, that's fine. But in the Hebrew, it's shalom. And shalom means in your life, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. I want you to go that way because you repented before God and you did these things because of 2 measly ministers. Oh, can I say measly ministers? No. At this time, when Naaman did what he needed to do, he turned the country around. If you look at biblical history, he turned the country around. Buried the false idols, did all these things except for whatever the king did. Then he said to him, go in shalom. So he departed from him a short distance. We can go on a little further as to the reason why they say a short distance as to what Elisha's servant Gehazi did, but we're not going to get into that because we're asking the question, do I really have a ministry? Do you think that young girl had a ministry?
Yes.
All she said was what? I wish you could go before the prophet. That's all she said. That's it. That's it. That was the word. That was the word. And then 2 of his servants said, if the prophet told you to do something, you hang from a hang glider or something like that, you'd do it. You know, but he told you something small. Are you going to do it? And he did it. And God rewarded him. Just think if he would have dipped 3 times, would he have been healed?
Yes.
3 times. No. Lord said 7. Lord said 7. 7 times. And he did it. Whether he was begrudging or not. Oh, glory to God. Note the specific words in there. As for the Lord, hallelujah. Glory. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We got to get into the new covenant as well. Luke chapter 4. Man, I like this. I really like this. Am I still a little bassy? Are we okay? Time-wise, we're doing good. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 13. Okay? Luke 4, verse 13. It's okay if I sit like this and read? Is that all right, guys? Because I know you guys, your faces should be down in the Bible, right? Or up here. Hallelujah. Okay. This is right after the Mount of Temptation. Luke chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation to Jesus, he departed from him until a what?" A what? An opportune time, or a better opportunity, right? Okay. Now, the devil said that, and the devil, that's what he's all about. Verse 14, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." He's being glorified by all. After he passed the temptation, he's being glorified. Okay, verse 16. "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." Next verse. "And he was handed the book," where it's actually the scroll, "of the prophet Isaiah." Everybody say prophet Isaiah. Okay. "And when he had opened the book," or the scroll, "he found the place where it was written." And here he is. He's reading now Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon" who? It says me. "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. "Then he closed the book," or rolled up the scroll, "and gave it back to the attendant and sat down." We're going to stop there for a second. And then he sat down. Those of you who heard me share this before, I have to give a little background with it. In a synagogue, the synagogues were oval-shaped, and at the very front, instead of a pulpit, they had a podium, and they had certain scrolls of certain books in the Old Covenant laid out there. Okay? And we just read, "And when he stood up to read," he stood right behind the podium, "and it was handed to him," which we read, right, "the book," or the scroll, "of Isaiah." So Jesus opened up that scroll, and the scripture says he found the place, not the attendant. Jesus found the place of Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Okay, then he read that. And after he read it, he rolled it up, gave it to the attendant, and he sat down. No big deal. If it wasn't a big deal, then what do we got here? "And all the eyes of who were in the synagogue were fixed on him." Why do you think that? Well, it's no big deal. Back then in a Jewish synagogue, who was here during the Passover when we did the Passover? Okay, a few of you were here. Remember how we had the long table up here? And then we had an empty chair sitting over there. Who was that chair for? Elijah. Okay, that was Elijah's chair. Nobody could sit in that chair. That was the chair for the prophet. They would have an empty chair in the synagogue. That's Elijah's chair. Okay? But there was also another chair, a bigger chair to the back. And that was the chair for the Messiah. Nobody sat in there except one person. Who do you think sat there? Jesus did. He sat. That's why all eyes are fixed on him. He's going, he's saying he's the Messiah. And wait a minute. He grew up in our hometown. What's the next verse say? And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing or in your ears. Next verse. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And then they said, is this not whose son? Who?
Joseph.
Joseph. Now we read, and it's also in the New Covenant, when Jesus was baptized, okay, a voice from heaven came out, and who was talking? God the Father. And what did God the Father say?
This is my son.
This is my son. Hear ye him. So these people were actually speaking a semi-truth. He was Joseph's son, but really not Joseph's son. Right? By marriage. Yeah. He's a stepfather. Okay? He's a stepfather. He said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me. Now, Jesus is talking to all these people, and they're from his hometown. Okay? This proverb to me. Physician. Don't forget, Jesus is also called the what? The great physician. Heal yourself. Did they say that to him on the cross? Yep. Get yourself down if you're the Messiah. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum, we know, is a Gentile town. It's Gentiles, okay? Do also here in your country. Next verse. Then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. He's also identifying himself. He sat in the Messiah's seat, but he also identified himself as a prophet. Okay? And we're going to get to that even a little more. Let's go to the next one. He says, but I tell you truly, this is where it gets deep, you guys. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon. That's a Gentile town, and it was also cursed by God, Tyre and Sidon. He said, no, no, don't go in there. The town is cursed. That's why Jesus, if you go through the Gospels, he never entered into Tyre and Sidon. People came out of Tyre and Sidon to get ministered to. But notice, in the region of Tyre and Sidon, to a woman who was a widow, a Gentile woman, God said, I'm going to bless you. What about all the widows in Israel? Not one of them was ministered to, according to what Jesus was saying at this time of the famine. Okay? Let's go to the next verse. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except for who? Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with what? With wrath. And rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. We read the story of Naaman. A young girl ministered to him, and his servants ministered to him. Okay? Jesus was identifying and telling the people there, says, wait a minute, I just preached to you. This day, Isaiah 61 is fulfilled in your ears. And you're turning your face, your back, your faith, everything away from what I just said. Just like the people in Israel back on Elijah's day. So you know what? I'm going to a Gentile city. Where did he go next right after this? And I didn't pull it up. To Capernaum. Exactly what he talked about. And he cast out a devil in Capernaum. From where? A Jewish synagogue. These two stories correlate. Okay, they tie together. Because God knows that, wait a second here. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Temptation, we read it. The Bible says that the devil left him for a more what? Opportune time or a better opportunity. Do you think the devil saw it here? God, through Jesus, picked on a soft spot and said that you guys, there's a hardship there. Nobody was healed. Gentiles were healed. And wait a minute, we're the people of God. And he didn't do anything for me. He didn't do anything for us. And the devil just decided to say, hey, you're right. God didn't do anything. Didn't do anything for you. Didn't do anything for you. And the whole group decided to do what? Kill him. You think that's of God? And these were church people. Church people. You guys know. Anybody who's been in the ministry, whether large or small, you get attacked. You get attacked. That's right. That are close to our church. That's right. That's right. We get attacked. And the devil will always come at his opportune time. Otherwise, he's not around. He didn't care. He didn't care. He only cares when we're doing something. Everybody say doing something. Doing something for God. When we don't do anything for God, what do you think he does? Nothing. Nothing. That's just the way he works. Oh, I'm going to read you guys a little story. Like I told you, I was going to give you guys stories tonight. Bible stories and another story. This story was, I'm not even going to give you a title. I'm just going to read it, okay? Because this gentleman, when he wrote this, because Pastor said to write a story, a one-page story of your life, like a testimony or something. And this gentleman, he wrote, it's a little longer than a one page, but I'm going to read it to you guys. And I want you guys to catch on with this. Those of us in our BC lives will be able to understand where he's coming from. Okay, listen closely. He starts off, he says, I have a confession to make. I'm a junkie. This is his confession. So I'm a junkie. A Bible junkie. It all began one day when I was sitting on a park bench eating my lunch. And I started looking around and I saw this little black book under the bench. So I picked it up, thumbed through it, and it was a pocket-sized New Testament. And I thumbed through some more. Then I did it. I read a verse. Now don't ask me why. Lord knows I didn't want to. I just did. It was in Matthew. And within a couple of days, I was through Mark and Luke and heading toward John. I tried to stop, but I just couldn't. Well, that was just the start. Then I went on to a bigger Bible. I read a full King James Version with concordance. I just couldn't put it down. I bought about 8 different Bibles, and I stashed them everywhere. In my drawer, in my car. By the drinking fountain at work. I just couldn't get through the day without the word. Oh, that's addict slang for Bible. I was getting by until one weekend I went to the mountains and oh, I did it. I forgot my Bible. It's hard to talk about it now. I got the shakes. I broke out in a cold sweat. I might not be here today if a Boy Scout hadn't recited John 3:16 for me for 4 hours. Well, of course, then my so-called friends found out. I mean, I might have been reading a lot, but I wasn't blind. All of a sudden, I didn't get invited to those kind of parties anymore. They voted me in college most likely to become a nun in the college newspaper. But it still didn't bother me until last month, the father of this girl I liked said he wouldn't let his daughter go out with that kind of guy. Like I had some kind of disease or something. I really don't know how he found out. I guess he saw my tracks. He's pretty brilliant. Yeah, he's pretty smart. Well, that just got me deeper into it. And pretty soon, I became a pusher. I started getting other people hooked on, I know what you're thinking, that I'm a sicko, a real scum. Well, I've been to doctors, and they couldn't help. They tried putting me on doses of Reader's Digest that put me to sleep. I didn't know where to turn. The doctors couldn't help me, and my friends deserted me. Then one day I slowed down, and instead of just reading the Bible, I started to believe it. Can you imagine that, believing it? And it was as if believing wasn't enough, I started living it. And all of a sudden, I looked around and found I didn't have a problem anymore. It no longer mattered what my friends or my girl's friend's father thought of me, but what mattered is that Jesus loves me. Amen. And that right there is so neat. And I'm so proud to be not just a Bible junkie, but a Jesus junkie. I'm hooked, but I'm hooked on the real thing. Hallelujah. Kind of a cool little story, huh, that he put together. He tied it in with his background. When you hear his background, yeah, he was into it pretty heavy, you know. But, yeah, it's old Marian Alta stuff, yeah. And it was really good. So, I mean, especially when you hear him do it live, you know, he just does it like, just like a real hippie you'd see. He's like, whoa, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to get into the last scriptures of the night. Yep, see, we got time. We're right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17, and we're also going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Here we go. Let's sit for a second here. Hallelujah. Therefore, everybody say, therefore. Therefore, if anyone is in where? Christ, or in Messiah, he is a new creation or a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We read tonight that there was something similar to this verse by Naaman. It happened to Naaman. He became a new person. Okay, maybe not spiritually, but you know what? He repented. He did things that were not right in the sight of God, but God healed him, and he said, I'm changing my life. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled. Everybody know what reconciled means? Okay, let's throw out a couple. Reconciled means what? Making peace? Okay, make peace. What else? Okay, make all things new. How about to make friendly again? Biblically, because the Bible says that we were at enmity with God and he was at enmity with us. Yeah, restoration. Being restored, okay? To accept. Could you imagine? Oh, back in the days of in the Old Testament, Israel, when they were trying to live right, but they couldn't, and then they had to do on the Day of Atonement sacrifice, And could you imagine if that sacrifice was not accepted? You lived in your sin again for another year. Oh, yeah. It could have been for the rest of your life if they would have passed away. God has reconciled or made peace with us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, everybody say, given me the ministry of reconciliation. Ask yourself the question, do I really have a ministry? The Bible says so. And what is that ministry? The ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of learning how to accept our neighbor, even though they really tick us off or anything. It doesn't matter. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing or allowing to pass on their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Oh my gosh. The prophet Elisha said to Naaman, go in what? He told him to go in peace. Go in shalom. Our job and as reconcilers is to lay shalom on individuals, no matter how they treat us. And I'm telling you, the only person I don't lay shalom on is the devil. That's it, you know. I hate him. Because what he tries to do to us, how much do I hate him? I hate him. You know, it's true. Okay? Because he's out to do what? Otherwise, he's nowhere around. If he sees something or somebody he can kill, he's there. If he sees something that he can destroy, he's there. Okay? And if he sees something that he can steal, kill, and destroy, yeah, he's nowhere around. I'm glad you guys had that on the test. Amen. Because that's a test every day. Amen. Every day. Okay? Now then, we are ambassadors. Everybody say, I am an ambassador. For who? For Christ. I am an ambassador for Christ. Now let's personalize it. I am a personal representative of Christ. Think about that, okay? You say, well, okay, after church here, I got to go to the little nightclub over there. A personal representative is not frequent that. That's not God. That's not his representative. There's no way. I'm not judging anybody who does it, but wait a second. Talk to us after. Let's pray. Let's get over that. Hallelujah. Amen? We are his ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. Have you ever pleaded for somebody before? To somebody about something? Please, 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 please. All that. God is doing that right now for us. To say, please, 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 please. I have faith in you. Don't do that. I have faith in you. Go witness to that person. Go share my name. Just go like the young girl did in 2 Kings chapter 5 and tell them that there's a prophet in Israel who can heal you. Please, 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 please do that. You ever heard that before? That's what God's doing. That's what he's doing for us and to us right now. He's pleading with us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be at peace with him. And when you hear his voice, just do it. That's what he's telling every one of us. Just do it. Hallelujah. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Next verse, last one for the night. We then, Okay, now everybody knows that there was no chapter breakdowns in the letters in the New Testament, okay? They just put, the translators put it in there just kind of where they thought would fit. But he's actually tying this phrase into the previous sentence. We then, as workers together, oh, I'm supposed to work with Conrad. I'm supposed to work with everybody. I'm supposed to work with you. And you're supposed to work with me. None of this. None of this. This is what we're supposed to do. We're workers together with him. Oh, I thought God didn't have anything to do with it when I decided to go do something for God. No, no, we're doing it for him. Hallelujah. Also plead with you not to receive the what? The grace of God in vain. Are you really called to be in the ministry? Can I have you pass one of these out, please, to everybody? I think I have enough for everybody. And those of you who have the one, the four of you I gave, don't read it yet, please. It's a secret. Yes, yes, you're getting one right here. While he's passing this out, I want to share something with you. Growing up in the 60s and 70s, that's all right, and especially in the 70s here, being a born-again Christian in the 70s, I got spoiled, and I'm going to share with you. I got spoiled spiritually, okay? Every Friday and every Saturday night, and sometimes on a week night during the week, Wednesday or a Thursday, but for sure, no doubt about it, without fail, all through the 70s, anytime we wanted to go out on a date, a Friday or Saturday, or just go out with some buddies to go say, come on, let's go to a concert, get my friends saved. There was concerts every Friday and every Saturday. Free Christian concerts. And we're talking about name bands. Well-known bands that travel the world. For free. For free. Yeah. Our best friends got saved. Our best friends. And then they took their friends. Isn't that the way it works? But see, there was an avenue. And I believe God is working with our congregation to be that avenue. Not just concerts, but for movies, for all kinds of things to say, you know what? I hear something's going on this Friday. Let's go. Pack the place out. Get them saved. This is our job. This is our job. We are ambassadors to do that. We're ambassadors. I gave everybody a handout because we couldn't print this, but this gentleman who wrote this song, I'm going to have you guys read it in a second. It's very powerful. The song was done in the 70s, late 70s. And this is painting a picture of who we are now in Christ. Okay? I don't know if anybody has ever heard this song before. If you have, you can sing along with it. But go ahead and start it. But I'd like it fairly loud so we can hear the words, Josh. Okay? Thank you. Nice and loud. Thanks, Josh. It can be louder if you want. Up top, gain, yeah. Here we go.
They say you ran a carnival, you used to come to town, till one September afternoon, he shut it down. They tell me something happened, some say he lost his mind. Now most September afternoons, this is what you find. An old man on the corner where he used to sail the shore.
Too much bass.
Now his shouts would sound as like foolishness as the people come and go.
Much bass.
One heart call. I got a deal for you today. Come on, step in the paper. It goes from door to door. The people say he's such a fool to come back for more. Old friends are mostly puzzled. They don't know what to say. Cause ever since that afternoon, he's just been that way. It's like the old man died and someone came to take his place. Now he just stands out there bellowing, smile upon his wrinkled face.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, July is evangelistic month, and that is an evangelistic teaching if I ever heard one. Amen. Glory to God.